When the red, red robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along, along, there'll be no more sobbing when he starts throbbing his old sweet song. Oh, wake up, you sleepyhead, get up, get out of bed, cheer up, the sun is red, live, love, laugh and be happy. What if I've been blue, now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, red robin starts bob, bob, bobbing along.
The following hour of Martha Norwalk's Animal World is brought to you by Jones & Company Pets. Their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy, healthy pets.
Hey, good morning, y'all. Martha Norwalk, and welcome you to the first hour of, well, I guess it's our Super Bowl Sunday edition of Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. You can tune us in on the radio dial. You can tune us in on the Internet via streaming audio. That means you can share us with your family and friends around the country, around the world, if they've got Internet access. And the best way to pick up the stream is go to the Animal World website. That would be www.marthanorwalk.com. Click on the Listen Live icon in the upper right-hand corner of the homepage, and that will click you through the 1150 KKNW website. Click on Listen Live again, and that will bring up the instructions that you need to stream the show. And I'm just trying to keep myself from chuckling because, you know, it's not just me and Mike anymore. And by the way, Elvis has left the building for the moment. That's why I was chuckling, because we have our wonderful new volunteer Animal World call screeners are in the studio with us, and one is sitting at the table with me, and I think Mike turned your microphone on before he left, so Kathy is here.
Hi.
Morning,
hi,
Kathy.
Good morning.
All right, Ashi is in the other room in case the phone rings, and that's what I was chuckling about, because it is not normal for me to be starting the show and for Mike to be doing, like, you know, football signals and, you know, but he was communicating via hand signals with Ashi through the glass, and then all of a sudden he left the room, which means that she didn't know how to push her button and get her mic going and all of that. But anyway, Animal World's production engineer is back in the building, and that would be Mike Roberge. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Martha.
Did and you get everything straightened out?
We did. Ashi had a really good question, and I had needed to run in there and take care of it, but we are good to go.
All right, so Kathy's in the studio with us here to start the show because we're not set up for two call screeners in the other studio to actually be able to chime in on the air. And since they need to be able to chime in on the air, one's in here and one's in the other room, so we haven't said good morning yet
good
to Ashi.
Morning.
Good morning, Ashi.
Good morning.
Hey, it works. All right, we are in good shape. So Ashi's here, Kathy's here, Mike's here, I'm here. Woohoo!
We have a new family.
It's really cool.
And it's a glorious Sunday morning.
It is so spectacular.
Wow. Pretty nice.
We got some high clouds up there, but plenty of blue sky and the sunshine be a shining. And the city of Seattle is there. We know that for sure. And by golly, the Olympic Mountains are even there with snow on top and all.
What a glorious weekend we've had.
Oh, yeah.
And are having.
Well, I have to say, yes, absolutely. And before we get off on tangents here, which we're likely to do because there's four of us now, and let me tell you what's up today. It is, can you believe it? It's the first Sunday of February already.
Yeah, Groundhog's Day last week.
Yeah, Groundhog, and apparently Punxsutawney Phil, or he saw his shadow.
He did.
And then we have one out here, but I can't remember his name. But he saw his shadow, too. So 6 more weeks of winter, that means.
Makes sense. I think we're going to have a little more winter before we're done.
Yeah, you wouldn't know it this week, though.
Not this week.
Out here in the great Pacific Northwest, for any of you that are listening from other locations, we are making up for the 1.5 to 2 feet of snow we got just a couple of weeks ago, because we have had just glorious weather, continues to be glorious. It was over 50. It was 55 degrees at my house yesterday.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Yeah, in town, too.
And it was absolutely spectacular. I have to say, this morning, the temperatures were all over the place. I once again, in my little protective forest around me, I was only 42 degrees last night. It didn't get that cold. But as soon as I got 6 miles down into Monroe proper, it was 32 degrees. And it stayed that way over 522. And then when I got to 405, sun was out, it warmed up to 42 degrees. And then by the time I got to the station here, it's 31 degrees.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
The temperature's kind of all
lots of different little pockets.
Yeah.
But we had just a wonderful sunrise this morning. Mm-hmm. I was coming over the I-90 bridge right about as the sun wasn't quite up, but certainly first light, and it was just gorgeous. The mountain was silhouetted, mm-hmm. and the lake itself was just a sheet of glass.
It's absolutely gorgeous. Now, for quite a few years, because when I started my show here on KKNW, I was taking care of my elderly father in my old neighborhood where I grew up, in Laurelhurst, as it were. And so I would come across I-90 every Sunday morning. It's, sometimes spectacular in the mountain, the pink, and the lake. So that was really nice.
Quite a treat for those of us who live in this area.
Yeah.
When it's nice. It is nice.
It is spectacular. But, you know, Mount Rainier was out gorgeously up at my house, and you know, I've told you, Mount Rainier is larger at my house than it is like 15 miles closer down here. I don't understand that, but
it's an optical illusion.
And I don't quite get it. I don't understand those things, but I just kind of take it for granted, because when I pull out of my driveway and I'm heading south, it is at the end of the road, which is like a half a mile ahead of me. It is at the end of the road, and it's huge. I see about the top third of the mountain, and it's huge. And then by the time I get to the end of that road, that half mile, the elevation has dropped enough that I can't see it anymore. And I don't see it again until I get back on I-90, which I'm like 30 miles, you know, 20, I always said 20, 25 miles closer to the mountain, and it's like back to its regular size. It's just strange.
Don't know what to tell you.
Just strange.
Just
now,
an illusion.
How did that happen? My intention was to tell everybody what was going on today before we got... And
first things first.
It's just, we can't... That's just us.
That's just stay on track.
Live radio, Animal World. Oh, well. Okay. Let's see. So what... Oh, I know what got us head... What got me off the track is...
It was probably me.
The first Sunday of February already.
Right. Okay. That's where we were.
We're back. Right. It's the first Sunday of February already. That means it's Behavior Training and Healing Sunday with Martha. And now with Mike and Kathy and Ashi. So that's what we're going to be doing today. We're going to start off with our normal stuff. Well, we'll, you know, be off the walls here. And then we'll get to follow up animals in the news. And whenever we finish that, sometime in this hour, or certainly by the beginning of next hour, then I'm going to follow up from the last first Sunday, the first Sunday in January. Remember, Helen and Bill Thayer got snowed in, so I decided to do an impromptu class, and we went through Communicating with Animals Part 1 and the Human-to-Animal Transference. And I put off Communicating with Animals Part 2 until this Sunday, so that's what we're going to do. And we are going to cover the fundamental bases of the most popular part of communicating with animals, which is receiving telepathic and empathetic information from our animal friends. So that will be, we may start it in this hour, depends on, you know, how blabbermouthy I am until we get, but once we finish what we got to do, then we'll start. But definitely by the second hour, we'll spend the second hour at least doing communicating with animals, receiving, and then my plan is the third hour will open, well, phone lines are open all the time now because, hey, did you know we have call screeners?
I know.
Woohoo. Hey, did you know what? I got somebody else signed up and, you know, applied for the job this week. And then before I could answer her email, she said, oh, just listen to the archive show. And now I know you have call screeners. So anyway, people are getting around to eventually saying, hey, I'm available. So woohoo. Anyway, there's now competition for your job, you guys. But we're set with
two. We kind of like what we got.
Yeah, we do.
A lot.
We do. Oh, I was going to tease you, Ashi, but I'm not going to do that. I'm too nice today. It's sunshiny. Anyway, The third hour of the show will be reserved for your phone calls. So if you have behavior training or healing questions, or anything you want to talk about your animal friends, I am available to entertain your phone calls, your questions, your concerns, whatever. And if you have questions about communicating with animals, sending or receiving, or questions about the human-to-animal transference, that's what we'll do in the third hour. And then, of course, if nobody calls, well, then it'll have to be Mike and Kathy and Ashi day to ask questions and talk stuff, or I'll teach more about what are the bases I hadn't already covered. So that's kind of the deal for today. And at this point, I've scheduled to run the fall into winter tip at 10 o'clock today, but we'll see how we're doing by then, because I think the weather's going to hold at least through this next week, so we don't have to worry about freezing our animals' tootsies and all that sort of thing, so we might be able to just skip it. And current events will happen, though, as usual, about 10:50, 10:55, because we do have new stuff on the current events list today. And I think that about covers the basics. So now we can go back to, is it a gorgeous day or what, for heaven's sakes? And what a great use of the weekend. I had such a good time yesterday as I was doing round two of after the snowstorm cleanup. And I have to say, driving in today, the snow is almost completely gone.
And it took a while. You would think with the kind of temperatures that we've had over the last couple of days that it would all go away.
Is it
just ice that you have?
No,
just, you
know. What's left is just the not melted off berms and piles.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Next to driveways, you know, where and so right in my neighborhood, there's just a tiny bit of a berm left, and then a couple miles down the road, there are a couple of still small haystacks left because there was a lot of snow piled up in that particular area off the road. So, but other than that, it's like gone. Now it was frosty down here in Factoria.
Yeah.
Because it was 31.
Definitely
when
a chill
through.
In the air this
yeah.
morning.
Yeah, but it was good. But so yesterday was round two of Martha cleaning up her yard and surrounding the house area. And I have to say, my middle name since I've moved to this property is Martha Leaf Blower, Norwalk. Leaf Wrecker, Leaf Blower, Leaf Vacuumer. Because, you know, I live among the trees, and I think you heard me mouthing off about it during the fall. This last summer was fairly dry, and that triggers the cedar trees to dump everything, you know, all their stuff. If you notice the cedar trees around the area this fall, they all had like red patches in them, brown, red, and that's the excess foliage or whatever you call it on cedar that they don't need anymore, because then that happens. I learned that from Cisco in reading his column, that because I asked the cedar trees, I said, what's up, are you guys okay? Because, you know, they were losing all this stuff, and my cedar trees told me that it was fine, it was cyclical, they were just getting rid of dead stuff, and sometimes, you know, every few years they do that. And then there was Cisco wrote a column that said it actually happens when it's a fairly dry summer, and that triggers the trees to then dump the excess stuff that they don't need to support because they're not getting as much water. And he said, don't try to water them out of it because that doesn't work. So, oh well. But anyway, I had a lot of extra cedar on the ground. So I was a blowing yesterday. And the Saturday before, I got half the place done, and then yesterday I got almost the whole thing done. And I have to tell you, you know, my Pong Man, mm-hmm. my 8-month-old Abyssinian, Ruddy Abyssinian, who had his man surgery last week. And he was pretty traumatized until I came up with man surgery. And I told you it changed his personality, his life. That little guy, he's become the bravest cat in the house. Because let me tell you, on Friday, I had a client come out with her about 8-month-old, 9-month-old feral hound. And I had done a private counseling session with her before at her home and straightened out all the behavior issues going on. But she was having a problem with the dog, you know, not paying attention to her when they were walking on leash and dragging her around the planet. So she needed to be taught how to have the dog walk on the leash without pulling and pay attention and that sort of thing. And I have a wonderful technique for that, that instead of having to go to you know, dog obedience school and class from now until eternity to teach your dog not to pull on the leash, I mean, I have the tough stuff done and over with, I say, less than 5 minutes. With Kobe, it was less than 2 minutes. And then it's just generalizing the behavior and teaching the owner how to take over and all of that. And we had wonderful walks around my neighborhood and all of that stuff. But one of the things we did is we let Kobe run and play in my dog yard, which is right next to my Taj Mahal cat enclosure, cat run. And he started whining and goofing back there, so we walked back to see what was going on, and Pong was in the cat run. And the cat run, of course, is, you know, enclosed with wire, and the dog yard is cyclone fenced. But the distance between the two is about 4 feet. Well, Kobe's right with his nose up against the cyclone fence, and he's bouncing and he's whining because, you know, it's his greatest desire to get to this kitty. And Pong is right up against the wire in the cat run, checking out this dog. Now, Ping, Pong's, you know, half-brother, he's in the breezeway or the walkway between the cat run and the house and sticking his little head out there just in case he needs to run back in the house quick. But Pong is brave and is right up there. And even when Kobe starts barking and getting goofy and all of that, I mean, you would have thought the earth was moving because Pong was quaking so much and he was shivering so hard, but he was still brave. He didn't move. He stayed right there. I was so proud of him. I said, oh, my man cat. Oh, Pong. And he's like, I got it. Well, so anyway, that was Friday. Well, then yesterday I'm on the yard cleanup. Well, you know, I use a big, for most of the leaf blowing, I have my 3-in-1 little one that I sometimes suck up leaf, but I have a big gas powered mower because, you know, or blower because I have so many leaves and stuff and junk and cedar and all of that to blow. Well, it's really loud. Okay. And I have never had, none of the cats have ever stayed out in the cat run when, you know, I'm either mow on the lawnmower or the blower. They're just like gone. I'm like blowing the around the cat run and had to get behind it and alongside it. And sure enough, Pong's out there. And Pong doesn't go back in.
While you're blowing?
While I'm blowing. And then while I'm right up next to the cat run, darn it, if he doesn't come right up to the side. And sometimes, you know, he's getting blown with a blower. Well, I figure he got primed for this because Ping and Pong, when I'm drying my hair with a blow dryer in the bathroom, most cats also split for the blow dryer. Well, not Ping and Pong. They're right on the sink. And sometimes I just turn it on them just for fun. And they squish their eyes and then, you know, brace themselves, you know, this is wind. But so I think that must have set him up. But once again, nobody was out but Pong and the leaf blower. He just squishes his eyes and stood there and he was chasing leaves. And I was like, oh my gosh. So I decided the moral of the story is, well, I was thinking maybe all men should have man surgery, but then I decided, well, no, it's probably not going to happen. But I just, I think the message here, because, you know, spirit does speak to us through the animals, that the message here is for, like, Mike and the rest of mankind, is that you need to figuratively have your man surgery. And that means you don't have to get rid of the testicles, for heaven's sakes, but let go of the testosterone, angry, male controlling energy, and you actually end up being braver and more wonderful as a result.
Yeah,
and
I think actually.
What do you think about that?
I think that happens with age. I think that's part of the maturation process. In that,
he's only 8 months
men,
old.
No, but I'm talking about men. You're talking about men.
Well,
I think what happens with a lot of men, and I can certainly speak for myself, is as you get older, you have less to prove because you've been there, done that, and you start to mellow out.
That's probably
right. That's why I think we see older men getting a little more comfortable in their own skin.
Is that like after the midlife crisis?
Definitely.
Crisis?
Yeah. It's okay. Probably.
So maybe,
you know,
midlife
two
crisis
midlife
for men is your man surgery.
Yeah. Huh? Yeah. It's part of that natural process.
Cool. Things
you need to do.
Cool.
And we all have the process, both men and women. You know, it's part of getting older. Just happens.
Yeah. All right. Well, so anyway, Pong is dogs, blowers. Now, we'll see what happens when I get when the riding lawnmower comes out right now. that hopefully won't be for a while. The grass can.
Well, he's still smart.
Yeah. I think he'll
stay
be
away.
Just fine.
Well, he's just impressive. All right, now before we get to any more follow up and news and so forth, I promised everybody a story here in the studio. Now, you regulars, you've heard the story more than once, but even though now Mike has an excuse because he's only been a regular since November, since he started being our...
That's my excuse.
Yeah, that's his excuse, and I haven't told the story since then. I don't know what Kathy and Ashi's excuse is, because they're longtime listeners. They just apparently were not listening when the story got told. But this morning when the show started, and you know we start every hour with, unless it's Christmas time or something weird's going on, with Red Robin. And Kathy was just saying, I love this song. This is my favorite song, da-da-da-da-da. I said, well, do you know the story? She said, no. And Mike said, no. And Asha, no. Well, so this is for our Animal World family here in the studio and for every one of you that hasn't heard it. The reason that we play the Red Robin, because if you were a fan of the show prior to KKNW days, it was not our start theme song. Because the show played in the afternoon. We were either late morning or early afternoon at other stations. But when it came to KKNW here, it turned out that the only weekend slot that was available and was not preempted every 2 seconds by sporting events was the 9 to noon slot on Sunday mornings. So that's where we put Animal World. And as you all know, because y'all are in the same boat, I'm not a morning person. So I needed a way to, like, you know, kind of get my toes tapping and get the energy up and ready to do the show. Well, when I said, Spirit, what do? I was reminded of when I was a kid and the last time I was a morning person. And that was like when I was about 5, probably 7, you know, a very young kid growing up in Seattle with my younger brother, Tom, and my mom and dad. And when we were very young and we would wake up at the crack of dawn, and of course we were forbidden to go and bother my parents, you know, and we had to let them sleep. So on the weekend and weekdays, they were up because, you know, we went preschool or nursery school or school or whatever. It was not a problem. They had work and all that kind of stuff. But on the weekends, we were not to wake them up. So we devised, my brother and I, and of course it was mostly my idea, because I had one of those, remember those little 45 plastic records and the little kid record players, mm-hmm. you know, that you put the needle on the record. And
oh, yeah.
I think mine was probably pink and maybe had Mickey Mouse or something on it. But I had a little record player. My first 45 record and my favorite record of all time was the Red, Red Robin. And so my brother and I would set up my little record player in the dining room, which happened to be directly under my parents' bedroom. And we would put on the Red, Red Robin. And then each time we played it, we'd play it louder. And we would play it over and over and over again until our mom and dad finally woke up and came to the party. So it's Red, Red Robin. So anyway, it's all, you know, I knew about it. Da, 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 da. So when I started the show here, my first production engineer, I had found a copy of it that we could use. But he did a search and was able to come up with the original recording, which is what we play. And I'm the guy that sings it. It's a name that you would all remember.
It's not Jolson, is it? Kind of sounds
Jolson,
like him.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe. But so it's someone we're all really familiar with, and Al Jolson, that may be it. But it is the original recording of the song and what I had on my little 45, you know, in the last century. So anyway, that's why we play the Red Robin.
All right.
It's a great way to start a day. Such a happy song.
Yeah. Yeah. Wake up, you sleepyhead. Get up. Get up. Yeah, see, I can just, I do sing along. But my mic is just not. See, and that's what Gary used to do sometimes.
He'd sing along?
Turkey noodle. No. I just, when I start singing along, he'd turn my microphone on. Yeah. I shouldn't give you any ideas.
No, no. That's a good way for surprises, unwanted surprises to happen.
Yes.
Turn somebody's mic on when they don't know it's on.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah. So,
somehow
you know.
I don't think Mike would do that, though.
Well,
of course,
accidents
I don't know
happen.
You very well.
Okay, so there, that's the story. That's where the Red Run. Now, you all know why we play the Red, Red Robin. That's supposed to wake us up.
Yes, and it does.
Yeah, yeah. And my parents says it still works. They're chiming in.
They're still hearing it.
Yeah.
Turn it down.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, my dad was not as pleased as my mom, but oh well. Okay, so what about, I got to tell you. I love this show. If you have not been, if you have cats or you want to know about cats and you have not been watching the new episodes of My Cat from Hell, which is on Animal Planet, it's on Saturday nights. The new show airs at 8 p.m. on Saturday nights on Animal Planet. The repeat of the last week's show runs the hour before, and I think they even run the week before that. They are, it is my favorite show. And this Jason Galaxy, you know, he's a rock and roller at night and a feline behaviorist during the day. And the guy is phenomenal. And unfortunately, last night, one of the episodes of the cats, it was the worst aggressive cat he's ever seen. And he figured there was something neurological wrong with it and did have a holistic vet workup, but they ended up putting the cat on psychotropic drugs, which along with his behavior therapy did work. But if y'all were with me, I was screaming at the TV, Plackner cat, Plackner cat, Plackner cat. Somehow, some way, Spirit is going to have to connect the two of us because I would love to share the Plekner tools with this Jason Galaxy guy and give him some more tools in his toolbox to understand why these cats do what he does. Although he is so good at working out the problems, but it doesn't solve the underlying endocrine immune imbalance that then creates a lot of chronic disease and illness later on. But the show is fabulous. So I'm just telling you.
Martha, we need to have him on. That'd be great.
Well, that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
And it looks like he may be doing kind of like the It's Me or the Dog gal, the behavior mod specialist, Victoria Stilwell. You know, she started out in England and then came to the States, and then they have had her traveling around the States to do more cases. I would imagine that probably that's going to happen with this Jason Galaxy, too, that he'll probably end up traveling around doing cat cases. But who knows? I don't know if that'll happen or not. But maybe he'll make it out here to the Northwest at some point. But gosh, I would just love to have him on the air and talk cat with him, man. And because the way he does things, he doesn't specifically talk about telepathic and empathetic communication. He doesn't specifically mention the human to animal transference. Of course, he couldn't because that's my thing, and I named it and all of that. But the way he structures and what he teaches the people and what he has them do with the cats addresses those areas. And he often refers to the fact, well, you fix the cat stuff and that you heal the human relationship at the same, or you heal the human relationship, you fix the cat stuff at the same time. And so he infers that he gets all of that stuff. But so anyway, hopefully at some point we'll be able to nab that guy and get him on the air.
Good.
And maybe he'll play some rock and roll at the same time.
That would be interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. Because he's kind of like Freedom's Handler. You know, Jeff Guidry, who's a rock and roller from way back and tattoos all over the place. Well, Jason's the same way. He's covered.
Well, since he has a show on Animal Planet, they're always doing publicity junkets. Working not only for the channel itself, but also for the cable television systems that carry the show. So I wouldn't be surprised. We should get a hold of his publicist and see what his travel schedule is.
Yeah, that would be a good idea. Somebody do that, will you? So, okay. All right. Well, anyway, we'll work on that. Oh, and then my last exciting news before we take care of advertisers and sponsors and then do news is, I'm really excited to say, I've been debating and debating. I've been telling you about it. You know, Cavalia's in town, which is the phenomenal show with horses and humans, kind of like Cirque du Soleil, only with it's by the same person or something, but with horses. It's in this area in Redmond at Marymore Park for another like week and a half, or is it 2 weeks? Another 10 days, I think, through next weekend. And I've been debating and debating because I did see it when it was here in Kent several years ago. And I was going to do it, but, you know, it really is kind of choke expensive. Now, of course, I don't go to shows and stuff, so I have no idea what the going rate is to go to a fancy show. And maybe it's like normal, but like when I found out how much it cost to go, it was like choke.
So tell us, how much was it?
Well, the tickets range from, you know, the nosebleed section and partially obstructed view are like $34 to $39, something like that. But the best seats in the house, and the package that goes with that are quite a ways upwards of $200, almost to the $300 category.
Yeah, that's spendy.
Yeah. Well, I finally decided to cough up the bucks. And I decided, you know, I never do these things. Valentine's Day is coming up. That's an excuse. I'll get myself a Valentine's present for my cats. How cool is that? So my cats actually spent the money. But I didn't buy the red seats or the lavender seats. I got the orange seat, and so I'm going next Friday night. I'm taking myself to Cavalia. I'm really excited.
So we're gonna have to wait 2 weeks to get a report.
Yeah, because I won't be in on Sunday, but we will. Now, if they come back again, see, the first time they were here, I was really on top of it. I went on a press pass, you know, and did interviews and all that kind of stuff on the show. I kind of blew that this time and didn't do that. But if they do it again, then I'll do that too, and we'll do a show with them or something. But I'm really excited because they say that they've you know, over the years that they've improved it and all of that sort of thing. And even if they didn't, it was so spectacular.
Yeah, and I misspoke. I said you weren't going to be here next Sunday, but in fact, you are.
I will be here. No, and so
because it's a Robin and Martha,
right? Sunday. So no, it won't be. It's not next Friday.
Oh, I got you.
It's the 17th, the Friday after.
Right.
Okay.
So you won't be.
Instead of 10 days, it's like 2 weeks.
Gotcha.
Two more weeks of the show, so there's still time to get tickets. But most of the best seats in the house are sold out. But that's okay. I mean, even still, I did the third level of seats. And it was still over $100, you know, with the fees and all that crap they tack onto it. And then I found out that Marymore is charging $15 for parking. Whoa, so they're taking advantage of it, too. I've never paid more than $5 for parking at Marymore. Jeez. Well, anyway, I've decided that I'm worth it.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, that's not totally out of line. Ticket prices and parking, it's kind of the going rate right now. Of course, it depends who you see and where you see them, but I don't think it's like over the top. Spendy, yeah, it is,
well,
but treat yourself, be nice
said,
to yourself.
And they did have a little thing that said that the parking goes to support King County Parks and all that kind of stuff, and I realize now with the economy and all the funding going, I decided, well, if I have $15 for parking, I would like to support King County Parks and all of that. So
sure.
So I made it okay to spend. I still choked. And thank goodness for plastic. So I put it on a credit card and said, happy Valentine's Day, Martha, from the kiddies. And I'm going, and that's on the 17th. Yeah, next week, next Sunday's second Sunday of the month, and that's Martha and Robin. So Robin will be here. But then the third Sunday is Kevin and Kim, and that'll be the Sunday after I do this. So you'll have to wait for a report on Cavalia after that. But I'm very excited that I'm going. So there you go. All right, how about we take care of our advertisers and sponsors, because it is the most important part of the show. Without them, there's no us. So let's do that, and then we'll come back and do the rest of news follow-up, animals in the news, the best good news about animals, and then we'll be ready to talk communicating with animals. So stay with us. Animal World continues right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Yeah. Hey, since 1978, Puget Sound area animal owners have been able to depend on Jones & Company Pets for all of their animal care needs. At Jones & Company, their spacious store allows room for everything you need for your animal companions. You can find foods, accessories, fish supplies, supplements, cleaning products, and a whole lot more. The store within a store concept makes it easy to find the right products for your dog, cat, fish, bird, or exotic animal friend. And Jones & Company rigorously trains their staff so they can easily answer all of your questions. Now visit Jones & Company. You'll find them on State Avenue in Marysville, or give them a call at 360-658-7817. At Jones & Company Pets, their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy and healthy pets.
Call karma specialist and metaphysical mother Robin Alexis for your free on-air readings, Wednesdays at 12 noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern Time. Psychic medium Robin Alexis helps countless people to live fuller and more conscious lives on Mystic Radio with Robin Alexis. Call Wednesdays for your free on-air readings and hear rebroadcasts of Mystic Radio with Robin Alexis Thursdays at 8 p.m. And check out Robin's Soul Spa at robinalexis.com.
Does your dog experience bad breath or gas? Does your cat spit up hairballs? Try Optigest. Optigest is a natural formula of digestive enzymes and the prebiotic FOS. Even pets with a healthy diet can experience digestive upset due to diet change, separation, or the normal aging process. Optigest works fast and has no inactive ingredients. Optigest supports intestinal balance and a healthy immune system to promote more comfortable, active, and vibrant dogs and cats. Ask for Optigest at your natural pet store today.
Pam and Rochelle are Chat with Women.
This life, you're becoming my mother.
I know I am. I think I am your mother.
Listen to Chat with Women to be informed, motivated, inspired.
So you're saying that he's been married twice before this woman?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Take 1 hour out of your day to learn and grow and change your life.
I see you getting married in 3 years.
Oh, my God.
Every weekday morning at 8, Chat with Women on 1150 KTNW.
This new year, give your dog, cat, or ferret the gift of great health naturally. Make NuPro all-natural supplements an essential part of your pet's diet. NuPro makes an awesome gravy sure to please. This gravy provides fresh nutrients for a beautiful, silky skin and coat, a strong immune system, and a healthy digestion, among other wonderful benefits. NuPro's joint support formula is perfect for working dogs, large breeds, and especially seniors. So go with NuPro, your pet's best friend for over 20 years. Go to NuProSupplements.com for more information. That's NuProSupplements.com.
Hi, this is Martha. Did you know that besides hosting Animal World, I'm also an animal behavior therapist and trainer with more than 40 years of professional experience? I work with you privately in your home or over the phone to help you understand your animal friends and resolve whatever behavior, training, or healing problems you've got going on. Most of my expertise is with cats and dogs, but I sometimes work with other types of animals as well. So whether it's puppies or kittens, adult dogs or cats, or elderly animal issues, I can help. Cats not using the litter box? Biting or scratching you or your furniture? Maybe they're fighting with each other or waking you up at night. I've got answers. Dogs barking too much, jumping, or dragging you around the block on your walk? Does he have separation anxiety or chew up stuff he shouldn't? I've got answers. Whatever's going on with your animal friends, I will help you fix it. I am more than reasonably priced and often need to see you only once. I always do a free, no-obligation telephone evaluation, so give me a call and bug my voicemail if you need immediate attention. You'll find me at Martha's Canine, Feline, and All Creature Counseling at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258, and I'd love to hear from you.
Independent programs, independent voices, independent ideas. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Hey y'all, Martha Norwalk. Thanks for spending your Sunday morning with us here on Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. And we're just getting ready to do news follow-up, animals in the news and stuff. However, Kathy brought up a very good point and question while we were off the air. And I said, well, that's what you're supposed to chime in about when we're on the air. So, Kathy, what did you say to me when we went off the air?
Well, I was just concerned about whether Cavalia was a organization that treats their animals well. I'm one that doesn't like to go to circuses and things like that because I have heard treatment can be Not so good for those.
Which is so important to bring up, and I didn't even think to mention that because I went there when they came here the first time.
Okay.
Which is why I did the whole press thing and went down and all of that to talk to the horses to see what was going on, how they were handled, all of that kind of stuff. And I can tell you, before I go there, for me, I don't believe in absolutes. Spirit teaches there are no absolutes. What's true in one case may not be true in another. I am absolutely opposed to exotic animals in circuses of any kind. And I will not ever go to a circus again. I will not advertise or promote them, and I encourage people not to go for those reasons because there is too much abuse. For, you know, the elephants, the lions, right. Tigers and bears, oh my, all that stuff. We don't need to do that. And even with the marine mammals and so forth, we don't need dolphins in shows. We don't need orcas in shows. However, I've had, the orcas have talked to me, and sometimes these young ones, you know, that get separated from the pod and they end up around people and boats and all of that. When we've spent all this money to try to get them back to where they're going and it's not successful, sometimes the orcas have explained to me that sometimes they choose to devote a lifetime to serving humans, and often those ones that get separated and come and join humans, they're volunteering, saying, "Hey, I'll do the show. Just take me." But we don't get it. See, we're absolute on that sort of thing. Now, the Cavalia, where I am with that, is that these horses are absolute. I mean, they could not have finer care, and the horses love what they're doing, and they are there because this is their sole purpose in this lifetime, and that's what they're here to do. And so as long as they're getting fabulous care and the horses want to do it, I'm fine in supporting that.
Good to know.
Yeah. So I'm okay. Now, I will report back. Well, after I go again, if I get anything different from the horses this time or whatever, I'll tell you. But that's why, and I'm so glad you brought that up, because it didn't even occur to me for me to tell you. That's why I'm going to this. That's why I'm paying my money. And that's why it's because the horses are happy and they want to do this. They love what they're doing, and they're well, well cared for. And yeah, they do travel and all of that kind of stuff, but they're good with this. And I've got Dan behind me, my horse, who's on the other side,
right,
with his Dan wings, saying, yep. Yep, they'd be happy campers.
Good thing. Yeah. I'm glad you clarified that.
Yeah. Good. He said he could have been a Cavalia horse. Oh, yeah, right, Dan. You're not a Lipizzan and all that sort of thing. But yeah, in spirit, you could. Yeah, he says he is now. Yeah, okay. All right, so there we go.
He had his man fix, huh?
Well, he had his man surgery when he was young. Although, I don't know, I think they must have forgotten something. Because he had the best stallion act in town. I mean, he really did. He behaved a lot more like a stallion than a gelding. But that's just because he was Dan. He was hot. Okay, let's get to animals in the news, and get that taken care of. You remember last week? This was the follow. You remember last week? I had the photograph that was in the Seattle Times of the bighorn sheep because of the competition. To, you know, kill the biggest, and this was they thought the biggest ever, and it was this dead sheep head on that, and, well, you know what I had to say about that last week. Well, there was a wonderful little reader write-in editorial this week in the Times, and I thought I would give Bonnie Robbins in Seattle credit for writing this. Dead sheep photo animals as trophies. She said, "We were appalled to see the photo and accompanying explanation about the member of the Boone and Crockett Club measuring his dead trophy. This competition for the largest bighorn sheep in the state of Washington encourages all the big game hunters to be out stalking the biggest and best kings of the species. Don't the hunters realize they are taking the strongest of the gene pool out of the population, leaving the smaller and weaker ones to survive? The trophies will end up gathering dust on some wall or in the basement for the grandchildren to eventually discard." Mm. I mean, how true is that?
Totally true.
Yeah.
If you want the species to survive, you got to let nature take its course and not mess with the chain.
Well, see, and that's what got us into trouble, so much trouble with the cougars when they made, you know, Eastern Washington was a trial, they made hunting cougars legal again after we, get me started on that, after we voted it down. But they made it legal again in Eastern Washington. And of course, the hunters go for the trophy animals. They go for the big, huge males. And what they found is it didn't solve the problem. It made the problem worse because they were taking the big males out of the program. And so there was no one to teach them teenage boys. And of course, they're not doing man surgery. So there's nobody to teach the teenage boy cougars how to behave and bust their rank. And so they're wreaking havoc and causing all kinds of, so it actually made the problem worse. Okay. Now, this is interesting. This is about the Arctic snowy owls. Bird enthusiasts are reporting rising numbers of snowy owls from the Arctic and their mass southern migration that a leading owl researcher says is unbelievable. Thousands of white birds. Now, these are apparently the young males are coming down into the States, and they are being seen so frequently in Idaho rooftops in Montana and gliding over golf courses in Missouri. We've been seeing them around here, that, you know, bird watchers are coming from all over the place to see these birds. Now, they think it is because they're somewhat in jeopardy in their own natural habitats, but that in the areas that they're congregating towards down here, the experts say is the phenomenon is likely linked to lemmings, which is a rodent that they eat. And there are so many of the lemmings that's what's bringing the snowy owls down to eat them. And apparently, I think they also hunt geese. Seems awfully large bird to go after, at least that's according to the article. But so they say they're coming because of that, and they're all over the place. So that was a fascinating article. Some of these I'm going to save because, remember, next week is a Martha and Robin Sunday, and we'll tune in to some of these animal situations, see what's really going on. There's another, we've talked about this before, but another article this week, pythons wiping out Everglades animals. You know, this is because of people letting go their pet pythons, and they've kind of taken over the Everglades. And then every once in a while there's been a story about, you know, there's been an unusual winter and it's gotten really cold and it kills a lot of the pythons off because they can't tolerate that cold weather. And it sounded like, well, maybe that would balance it out. But the bottom line, it hasn't. The pythons and anacondas are eating everything in the Florida Everglades. The most common animals in the Everglades National Park, rabbits, raccoons, opossums, and bobcats are almost gone. I mean, that's pretty amazing. And there's a picture of two guys and a gal holding up a 162-pound python captured in Everglades National Park. I mean, look at the size of that puppy.
Oh, yeah, they're huge. And obviously they're adapting to their environment. The freezes are not... Or the cool weather is not getting rid of them. They're getting used to it.
Yeah, so they say that the pythons are wreaking havoc on America's most beautiful, treasured, and naturally bountiful ecosystems. But they don't have a plan. It says the only hope to halt further python invasion is swift, decisive, and deliberate human action. And that, to me, that means they need to go in and exterminate them. But I'm going to put that in the Robin and Martha pile. We'll see what the pythons have to say about that and all the other animals. Let's see. What have I got here? Well, of course, there have to be a few Super Bowl stories today, don't you think? How about a monkey see, monkey do? Now, have y'all pay attention to Super Bowl commercials and stuff? No?
No, not me.
Well, you're a sports guy.
Yeah, I'm not real big on the Super Bowl.
Really?
A little too much hype for me.
Well, I hear you. If the Seahawks aren't there, well, then I don't care.
Yeah. Yeah, me too.
There's so much, it's hard to avoid all the commercial stuff. It says Chicago's Lincoln Park Zoo is mounting a campaign to stop CareerBuilder.com from airing a Super Bowl Sunday commercial featuring mischievous suit and tie wearing chimpanzees playing tricks on their human coworkers. Now, I've actually seen the commercial because, you know, it was hard to avoid this week on TV. There, did any of you see it?
I did not.
No, I didn't.
Well, the chimpanzees are in charge, and they're at the big desk in the office and all this kind of stuff, and then they're just really piling it on the human. But anyway, the company started using chimps in their Super Bowl commercials in 2005, but the zoo said a new Duke University study found using commercialized chimps dressed as people makes viewers less concerned about the plight of wild chimps. So we'll save that one, too, and then they would pay attention to see if those chimp commercials do air today, because I don't know if they were successful or not or what happened because of that. It was just a little mention. All right. Did you hear the sad news about around here that someone is shooting sea lions again? And I think there have been at least 8 dead sea lions that have washed up around the area that have been shot. And so far, nobody has been found and held accountable. If you have information on the Puget Sound sea lion deaths, you're to call NOAA, which is manned 24 hours a day. The number is 800-853-1964. That's 800-853-1964. That's very sad that people have to take out there. Ah, right up my alley, and especially for today, this made the front page of yesterday's Seattle Times. Probably was a slow news day, but you'll never know what the subject was.
I didn't see the front page, so.
Duke the cat, a feline delinquent. And it's all about him pooping all over his neighbor's house and property. Cats and poops on the front page of the Seattle Times. I told you we're one of the few shows on the air that can get away with talking about poop and crap and pee and diarrhea and vomiting and all that stuff because animals do it all the time. We have to talk about it. But now it's on the front page of the Seattle Times.
Now, Martha, what makes them do that?
We're not going to get into that right now, but we could in the third hour of today's show. But the bottom line was about this Duke, this cat, was an indoor-outdoor model, and he'd go over to the neighbor's house, and they were remodeling and all this stuff, and he pooped and peed all over the place, and the neighbor got all upset, and then the two neighbors got in a fight. So the one neighbor who was being pooped on sued the neighbor who owned the cat, and it all shook out, and actually she was fined like $109.
No kidding.
Yeah. So Duke got fined for pooping in the wrong place, and there's interviews with Seattle Animal Shelter, and they even have on their website, they have coaching information about how to keep cats from pooping in your gardens and around your house and all that sort of stuff. And I have great information along those lines. So y'all have neighbors whose cats poop in your yard and garden, call Aunt Martha, because I can tell you how to deal with it. You don't need to sue the owners.
No.
I can tell you how to deal with it. So there we go. All right. Now, that's the extent of the news. So that leaves us with the best good news about animals. Woohoo! We are.
Definitely walking on sunshine this morning.
Ew! It sure does. Oh, I have to tell you, yesterday, when I was out there working, I love where I am so much. I just love where I am, and I love my place. But you know, I'm blowing and I'm raking and I'm cleaning up branches and all of that sort of stuff. But I'm really the whole time I'm doing it, I'm realizing that I have to do all this work because that's part of the price that you pay to live among the trees. And I love them so much that the whole time I'm working, I'm singing one of Yogananda's songs, "Oh God, Beautiful." And so I'm chanting my "Oh God, Beautiful," and I'm doing all this work. And miraculously, I had a wonderful time. I got so much more done than I thought I would, and it was a whole lot easier than I thought it would be. And all this kind of stuff, it looked spectacular, and it was so gorgeous. And of course, Sophie and Ping and Pong were out bouncing off the cat, Taj Mahal, and playing and all of that. That I really wanted to not work and clean up the leaves, I wanted to, you know, my little Buzzy, Buzz around the house, is like, he'll be 15 weeks old tomorrow. And he's not been in the Paz Mahal. You know, I've asked all the cats not to go out through the door when he's watching and not to show him how to go out there. So he hasn't been out there yet. And I wanted, because it was 55 degrees, I wanted to take Buzzy out to the cat run for his first time and let him play with other cats. And, you know, because the first time they're in there, oh, it's spectacular. Mm. But anyway, so I said, well, no, I have to do the cleanup today, but maybe tomorrow. I have to finish up a little bit of Kleenex when I get home, and then I'll decide, you know, maybe I'll sort of probably watch halftime. But, like, you know, I don't.
The game doesn't start till 3:30.
3:30, yeah. And so I might want to watch up halftime, but I'm thinking I might take Buzzy out to the cat run. So that's good news today.
Oh, Martha, I wish you could video that.
Oh, I wish I could too. I wish I could take that, but I'm just so not technical. Yeah. And I don't even have, if I had a camera, I don't, but yeah, it's so cool. It's so cool. Hopefully he will not learn how to just climb up the walls, the wire of the cat run. I've never had cats do that, but ping and pong just climb right up the walls. And even with the rim lofts I put up and all, they still climb right up the walls. Okay, let's see. We're back to the news here to finish up. And this is just a great photograph and a contest that went on for the Woodland Park Zoo. And they had a contest for people wrote in to guess how much Guadalupe and Water Lily, which are their hippos, how much the two of them weighed together because they got this big scale they weigh them on. And amazingly, like 3,000 people submitted guesses, and the winner guessed 6,280 pounds and was only 1 pound off, 6,279 pounds. There's a picture of one of the hippos on the scale. So it's kind of a cool picture.
Big boy, a mere 3,285 pounds.
No. Did you hear it? Guadalupe and Water Lily? They're chicks.
Big girl.
I stand corrected. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Big girls.
Big girls.
Big girls. Cute big girls. Okay. Oh, this is... I put this in good news. It started out as a sad story, but good news, and this is out of Washougal, Clark County. Neighbors rescue dog that survived family tragedy. And this was quite some time ago. The husband lost it and killed his wife. Killed his family, killed himself. Their border collie hid and ran away and they couldn't find it. And a neighbor started putting out food and eventually got to the point where they could capture it and take the animal control. But now the neighbors became so fond of the dog that they've been going and visiting and the bond is starting and they've decided that They weren't going to adopt the dog to begin with because they said it would remind them of the neighbor guy who went berserk and killed his family. But now they realize that saving the dog and giving the dog a loving home is more important. So they're going to save the dog.
Good for that.
Yeah. Yeah, like that. This is, well, I put this in good news with a, because they say it's a win-win. Treating dogs' spinal cord injuries could help people. And this is a new series of injections for new spinal cord injuries. They're using it on dachshunds, beagles, and corgis with spinal cord injuries. And it's being very effective, so they think it will also work for people and may lead to, if you're caught, and if it's treated right away, that you won't get paralyzed and all of that. So... they are doing the research now on the dogs, and it has already saved some dogs from being paralyzed. So I guess that's the good news. Speaking of bighorn sheep, we have some good news, and this is from Northwest Saturday yesterday. Don't be sheepish. Come over and see. You can go to Eastern Washington. This is Oak Creek Wildlife Area near Yakima, and get within 10 feet of 100 bighorn sheep because the Department of Wildlife, they're feeding the bighorn sheep and also elk. That's because if they don't feed them, they trample farms and fences and get into big trouble. So at this time of year, they feed them alfalfa pellets and hay across a fence. So it's a 2.5 hour drive from Seattle to State's Oak Creek Wildlife Area near Yakima, and you can be within 10 feet of the incredible bighorn sheep, and you don't get to shoot them, thank goodness. And then, 3 miles away, you can stop and see 500 to 600 elk being fed. And that's at another Oak Creek Wildlife Area. You can take photographs, and directions to the feeding site are at a Seattle seati.ms/YFLMJO. I think if you went to Seattle Times and searched this, you'd come up with the website. And the weather's clear and nippy right now, but the roads are plowed, and they say the best time to go is, and this is for a couple more weeks, they'll be feeding them. The best time to get there is mid-morning. But anyway, so look at the picture of live bighorn sheep. Pretty cool, huh?
Looks a whole lot better.
A bunch of live bighorn sheep. But you notice none of them has as big a horns as the big one that was in last week. Second to last one here. Super Bowl ad concept has legs. You're going to see more dogs than ever in Super Bowl commercials today. And Volkswagen is doing it. Beer giant Budweiser's doing dogs this year, and Skechers is doing dogs this year. And then the winner of the best good news about animals is, this is really good. This is so good. Leatherback sea turtles granted protection along the U.S. West Coast. And a major decision to protect feeding hotspots for endangered leatherback sea turtles off the shores of Washington, Oregon, and California was finalized last week by the U.S. Marine Fisheries Service. The final rule establishes protection for 40,000 square miles of critical ocean habitat in areas where leatherbacks feed on jellyfish after swimming 6,000 miles across the ocean from nests in Indonesia. Isn't that cool? Did you know that? This is the first permanent safe haven for giant leatherbacks designated in continental U.S. waters and the largest area set aside to protect sea turtle habitat in the U.S. or its territories. Now, this is phenomenal because it now means, get this, this is the even the really, really, really big, the critical habitat designation for leatherback feeding areas requires the U.S. government to review any new wave energy, offshore drilling, or coastal projects and prevent harm to sea turtles or jellyfish. Species with critical habitat protected under the Endangered Species Act are twice as likely to recover than those without such protection.
Good.
Nice.
Good. Yay! Woohoo! All right, there we go. So that wraps up this first hour. We're a few minutes late, but that's okay. How about I'm doing good, and I can go till the end of the next hour. Let's give us plenty of time to do communication. We're going to dump the tip because the sun's going to be out most of the week. I think the first chance of rain is like on late Wednesday to Thursday. So let's have sunshine, and we'll dump the tip. We'll come back, and we're going to start part two of Communicating with Animals, How to Receive. Stay with us. Animal World continues right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
The preceding hour of Martha Norwalk's Animal World was brought to you by Jones & Company Pets. Their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy, healthy pets.